also. Hallelujah. Been a wonderful day so far with the preaching of the word in the morning and Herman's good word, the beautiful song and the worship just has lifted my heart. Yesterday would have been my father's 97th birthday. He passed away a few years ago, but just whenever I think about September 17th, it just always just stirs my heart, remembering my father and the wonderful man he was to me and directing me in so many ways, and his great respect and honor to God. And that has been one of those things that's encouraged me to go on in the deep things of the Lord. So I praise God for that. Today, I wanted to speak about something that I know we've touched on inadvertently and maybe even definitely, but how many want a little peace in their life? Amen? Any hands for people that want some peace? I say that like sarcastically because the thought of what peace really is, what kind of peace are you really seeking? And what kind of peace is the world seeking when you consider that? Some people think that peace is the absence of war. If there's no wars going on, then that is peace. And so we say, well, that's the kind of peace. Or some people want to have an absence of personal strife in their life. If I just could have a day without bickering in the family or pressure at the job or so many other things, health issues, and I just don't seem to have the peace that I desire. I want peace of mind. I want peace of my heart, peace of spirit, peace of job, peace from the past things that haunt me, the present things that I'm challenged with, and future things. I want to have some peace in my life. And I believe that that is something that you can have. If you don't, before you leave the service today, you can have peace in your heart. And I know that you know that it is the Lord alone, because Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now you say, okay, well, that takes care of peace with God, but I'm telling you, that is the first and the last thing that we need. The peace with God encompasses all the things that you need for peace. He is the one that you need to have peace with, or you never will have peace. When you think about the peace, and when you think about this verse, therefore, having been justified, I already have been justified by Jesus Christ. It's nothing that I have to attain to. When I received Christ as my Savior, I was justified. It was as though I had never sinned. God has made the slate clean in my life. And even more than that, when Christ died on the cross, he died for the sins of all mankind. And so when we receive Christ, the provision was already made that you might have freedom from your sins and eternal life. Peace with God is that peace that rests in the assurance, as Joanne so beautifully was saying in her song, in the refuge of God, of Christ alone, is where I find my refuge and a very present help in time of need. And when you rush into the refuge of God Almighty and you find your peace there, I know I've used this illustration before, but it comes to my mind every time I think of peace. Is not a freedom from turmoil. There was an artist that painted this picture, and maybe you've seen this picture or heard about this story, but he was commissioned to draw a perfect peace. And they thought maybe they would show the stillness of the ocean or a beautiful sunny day and clear skies or people holding hands and an expression of peace. But this artist's rendition of what perfect peace was a picture of a raging tide, a wave coming up and beating against the side of a cliff that must have been 50, 100 feet high, and just pummeling this cliff. And when the person that had commissioned him to draw this picture looked at it and said, how could this even begin to depict any kind of peace with a raging of this waves and the beating against the side of this mountain? And the artist pointed him to say, look very carefully at this picture. And he showed him up in the cleft of the rock was a small bird stuck up in there, and all the waves and the wind and the adversity of the sea coming bashing against that, this bird was kept safe in that cleft of the rock. And he said, that to me is perfect peace. And I believe that is what God offers us. If you can have peace in the midst of turmoil and still have the tranquility, knowing that God is with you no matter what, and he will keep you in the hollow of his hand, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That is the peace that we need to seek for. When I think of the peace, I think about that has already been established in my life. And I believe that some in this congregation need to tap into the truth of that. Tap into the truth that God, as in Romans again 5:1, therefore having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace with God is such a phenomenal peace to have. That takes care of all the past. And I will show how it takes care of the future and the present as well. In Philippians 4:6-7, it said, a beautiful scripture that I repeat again and again. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be in turmoil. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. In every situation, in every trial of life, in everything that you face, in your past, and whatever has happened in your life, some of you have lived a despicable life in the past, but I'm telling you, God said that has been laid aside as far as the east is from the west. So far has God removed that remembrance of sin from his mind, and he wants you to remove it from your mind. The only good thing about past mistakes and failures is that you would not step back into them again. But to go around with a condemning heart in yourself, God would not have. He wants you not to be anxious about your past, but to lay it at the foot of the cross and there find your consolation in him. Amen? That's what God wants for you. If you have not reached into that and received that, God is encouraging you this day to reach out and receive the peace that he has offered in the person of Jesus Christ, who has forgiven you of all your past sins. I'll get to the present and future. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Don't go into a turmoil. Don't fret. Don't worry. Think about God. Do not be anxious. But God gives us beautiful pictures of his presence in our life. We think about the Lord is my shepherd. Because he's my shepherd, I will never be in want. Because he provides all of my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God is my supply. It is not the world that we want to look to. It is God Almighty that gives me peace and consolation. When the world turns against me, I have Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. A scripture that you hear me mention again and again from Isaiah 26:3. Thou shalt keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee. Meaning that God will give you perfect peace. There's few perfect things that we can think about other than God. But God will give you perfect peace to him whose mind is concentrated, dedicated, separated unto God. God shall keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee. God wants you to so have that peace. God wants peace for your life. The peace that passeth all understanding. God wants that for you. And so in my life, I say that has taken care of every past thing that I have done, everything in my past that I may have been embarrassed from, that I would be humiliated to share, every trial that I have faced, everything that I have fallen and failed in. God has taken that upon himself at the cross of Calvary. That is answered. How many have reviewed again and again in your life things that you have done wrong? And how do you think that ever helps you if you keep on saying, why did I do this? Why did I say that? Why did I do that? Why did I think that? Why, oh, why, oh, why? And the more you do that, the more you bring yourself down into the pits. This is what you should be saying. Thank God that he's delivered me. Thank God that he's forgiven me. Thank God that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank God that I'm a new creation. Thank God that I have peace with God. Thank God that I have that peace. And then you begin to lay that aside and you think about it no more other than to say, I never want to slip back into those things that I have been delivered from. But there is no condemnation to be thrown at you because you have given it over to the Lord and he has forgiven you of all your sins. If you will not accept that, then you will not accept what Christ has done on the cross for you. How many believe that Christ died to pay for the sins of the entire world? Then he paid for your sin. I am telling you, your sins are forgiven you. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are now forgiven of all your sins. Receive that. Because Jesus' blood has been spilled for the remission of your sins. Sometimes I wonder how that was done. And I just want to give you how the peace was achieved for us. In Colossians 1:20, it said, and having made peace through his blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Colossians 1:20, God has reckoned all things to himself by the blood of Jesus Christ. His grace is sufficient. His blood is enough to forgive you of all your sins and bring to you that peace that only Christ can give. How is this peace received in my life? How do I get this into my life? Christ paid for it. How do I do that? He says in Romans 8:6, to set the mind of the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. You have set your mind on the things of God. You have set your mind on the spirit of God. And because you have set your mind on the spirit of God, that is to you life and peace. And God wants you to have that kind of peace. The kingdom of God, as Eric mentioned this morning, righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of God. I wish I could extract every bit of anxiety from you, every bit of stress, and lay it at the foot of the cross. There you would know that that is what Christ has done. He has taken it all upon himself so that you might be free. He that is set free is free indeed. And that's what God wants you to have, that kind of peace today. The provision for peace was made by Jesus Christ in John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God does not want you to have a troubled heart. God does not want you to be afraid. He wants you to know that he has given the peace that passeth all understanding. It is only found in Jesus Christ. It is only by accepting that and accepting Christ that you will ever attain that peace that you seek. The peace is knowing that you have God in your heart, knowing that Christ will never leave nor forsake you, knowing that he will be with you no matter what comes your way. For the Christian, we live in two worlds. We live in the world that we see around us, all the political upheaval and turmoil, all the wars in this world. Why, if anybody ever said, I want world peace, there has never been a moment, I think, in this world where there has been world peace. There has been one war after the next. I looked up some kind of statistics. It seems like there are some major wars happening every year, 3-4 wars every year happening. And who was it? One of the presidents said, World War I would be the war to end all wars. Well, it certainly hasn't happened. There's been many wars since World War I, and they are going to keep on happening. But the Christian, for the Christian, we live in a world within a world. The world of turmoil that is going on outside of us, the physical realm, even our outward man is perishing, slowly getting older. Everything is decaying. Everything is going downhill. But I'm telling you, those that walk in the Spirit are renewed day by day. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. And though you have no peace when we look at nations, and though you may have turmoil with friends and family and with situations in your life, yet God will keep you in perfect peace as you would look to Him. It's a concentrated effort. It's taking the Bible for what it says, believing the Word of God, acting upon it. The peace that I'm speaking about is not some passive resistance. It's not some conscientious objection to everything that happens. It is taking an active hold of God and saying, He is my peace, and I'm going to hold on to Him no matter what happens around me. I'm going to actively grab a hold of God, and I'm going to not let Him go until He blesses me. I'm going to grab Him by the skirt. I'm going to grab Him by the shoulders. I'm going to put my arms around Him and never let Him go. When you have Christ and are holding on to Him with all your heart, be assured that He is holding you all the harder. Christ is with you. He has given you the peace that passeth all understanding. Don't let it slip away. Don't lay it down. Aggressively pursue and take the kingdom by force. However, you would have God come to you. God wants to bless you with the peace of God. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation." Can we say that? In the world, you will have tribulation. Now, whatever you name that to be, whatever kind of tribulation may come your way, he said, but be of good cheer, even in the midst of that, because I have overcome the world. Even in your tribulation, the greatest trial of your life, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Little things happen in our lives. Maybe when Wesley fell and hit his head, everybody got concerned and we're rushing around. But I'm telling you, so many of us had the inward peace that God was going to work that out. God had already worked it out. He could have hit his eye. He could have broken his head. I mean, but here it's just something God worked out. I am not trusting in anybody to take care of my children but God alone. And that's what you should do. God has brought my children through so much. And protected them in spite of me. Not because of me. In spite of my mistakes. My boys have grown to be fine young men. And I thank God for that. Hallelujah. Because I'm trusting in God alone. I'm looking to God alone. Hallelujah. You know, when I think about this, some people, I've preached on peace before. And if I've said this, I repudiate it. And if you've ever read this in any other article or something, then turn away from it. Because sometimes people want you to think of peace as some kind of a replacement theory. That if you can start to think about something else, and you get your mind concentrated on something else, you won't think about what is causing you anxiety. Do you understand that? Now that sounds like a good philosophy, but that's the world. God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to face what's coming at you head on and said, I can stand against this in the name of Jesus Christ. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm not going to rush off and hide my mind in some mental game that I have to concentrate on something else so that I'm not going to be confronted by the thing that wants to devour me. I'm not going to run from Satan. I'm going to stand. Having done all to stand, I will stand therefore. That's what God wants you to do. Stand against the adversity in the name of Jesus Christ and have peace in the midst of the turmoil. That's what God has for you. He wants you to stand firm. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. In the world you will have tribulation, the Bible says. And those of your own household might turn against you. And though a man gain the world and sacrifice his soul, what good does it do him? So I say this. If you are seeking peace in this world, and that peace that you want is to never have any problems, then it's a false hope that you have, because you're going to be faced with problems because of your humanity, because of your corruption. If you're hoping that just to have peace with your friends and family, it's never going to happen. They are humans too. And if you are hoping, what if you had this? What if you had peace in the world and you had no problems? Now get this, peace in the world, no problem. You're just happy as can be. And your family and friends, they all love you. How many family and friends love them, everything you do? I'm the only one here, is that it? I can assure you my family and friends don't all love everything I do. And how many are healthy, wealthy, and wise out there? But what if you were healthy, wealthy, and wise? Your friends and family loved you. There were no problems in your life, but you didn't have God. You didn't have the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. You didn't have the knowledge that when you left this world, that you would go to be with the Lord. You didn't have the assurance that you would stand with Jesus Christ on the day of judgment and your sins would never even come into remembrance. You wouldn't have that assurance that God was on your side and that Christ lived in you and you were sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. It wouldn't matter if I had everything, though I gained the world, but I lost my soul. It wouldn't mean anything to you, and it wouldn't mean anything to me, because God wants to give you the peace, and he's the only one that can give you that peace. If you have been looking for peace in some three-step message, in some three-point sermon, forget about it. Christ is the answer. It is Jesus Christ who is your answer. He is the only peace you will ever find. And that is the best peace you will ever find. I believe there'll be no lasting peace in the world until Christ returns. Some people think that maybe our world is going to get better and better and the Christians are going to take over. It's not going to happen until Christ returns. People are praying for the peace of Israel. How many pray for the peace of Israel? The Bible exhorts us to do. But let me tell you this, there will be no peace in Israel until Jesus Christ returns. There may be a moment of peace. There may be a time of peace. In fact, I even think in Daniel 9:27, it speaks about a certain one that will come in and make a covenant of peace with Israel for 7 years and break that covenant. Often think about the Antichrist doing just that. So there would be no peace until Christ returns and sets all things right. The only kind of peace will be that false peace that the Antichrist would seek to bring in. What I'm saying to you is not some kind of pie in the sky, by and by peace. The peace I'm talking about is a peace that is real and has substance to it. It's a kind of peace you can just live in, and you're not afraid to look at it. You're not afraid to handle it. Some people are afraid to handle and look at philosophies because they will lose. When I was preparing for this, I looked up on the internet and I said, what's the world think of peace? Well, they said, well, how to get peace? One of the things was to take your mind and concentrate on something else. And they said, how to get peace? Well, just begin to get yourself and find your center of being and rest in there. You know, and just speak a mantra or something, or cross your legs and sit like a Buddha, and you're going to get peace. That is garbage. First of all, it's trying to attain it in and of yourself, and you are worshiping a false god. You are, in essence, worshiping the god of tranquility. What we need to do is worship Jesus Christ and him alone. He is the one that will bring the peace that passeth all understanding. And so, when you think about that peace, never try to get peace in your heart by some other means other than giving your life totally unto Jesus Christ. He is your peace. If you have peace in your heart that God in Christ has forgiven you of all your sins, I tell you again, my past is forgiven. My life is clean and clear. And God loves me so much that he gave his only son for me. That's what I want you to think about. Your past is clear. Your life is clear. And God has given his only son for you. The Bible says, if God has given his only son for my sins, how much then will he not give me also all things? All things are yours in Christ Jesus. All that Christ has is yours. And you will realize that as you live and grow in the things of Christ. So if you have peace in your heart, if you have that peace of God in your heart, and you know those things that I said about your past being forgiven, and your Christ is in your heart, and you are living with the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and then you that he has prepared a place for you in the future with eternal life with him forever. If you have that knowledge, that Christ has prepared a future place for you in eternity forever, that you have that knowledge, along with the fact that he's in you and that he has prepared a place for you. One is the past, that is the future, what he has prepared for me. Then you have a peace that he will guide your present situations no matter what they may be. If you have the knowledge that God has taken care of your past and that your future is set in order by him, then every present situation you can be assured of, that as you lay that before the God Almighty without anxiousness, in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I can assure you that every present situation, no matter what you name, God will handle it. God will bring you through, and he will bring you through strengthened as a better person, a person that can rejoice in the midst of turmoil and trial. If you do that, God will bless you. Christ is my peace, and I am to emulate him in all that he did here on the earth. Eric made a beautiful presentation this morning on the glory of God, that we can't even look on the person of God Almighty lest we be consumed. So that's why he sent Jesus Christ. Because John said, we have seen him, we have handled him, the very word of life. And that's who we need to emulate in all things. Was Christ at peace in his life at all times? At all times, he never lost the peace. He trusted that the Father that was had given him the commission to come into the world would work everything according to his plan. He knew that his mission was intact and he should follow it through until the end. He set his eyes on things above and not on things of the world. He looked at the world with compassion and love, and he stayed at peace in that. He embraced every trial that was set before him as part of the process of completing the great commission that he had upon his life. And we are to do the exact same thing. He said, I do nothing but what I hear the Father tell me to do. You should do nothing but what Jesus Christ tells you to do. If you move in the things of Christ, he will give you a heart that is so at rest and so at peace that you will amaze yourself that it could be such a wonderful deliverance from the things of the world. The world wants to destroy you. Satan is out to kill, rob, and destroy. But the peace of Christ must reign in your heart. That is your salvation. That is your hope in this world, is Jesus Christ. It is the Holy Spirit that, I said, gives that peace. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that we have of Jesus Christ is given by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has given all that to you. In Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God, is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I close with this thought. Probably be a long closing, but listen anyhow. In 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 11, first couple of scriptures, this is the perfect picture of a man that has emulated Christ and that is resting in Christ. And we sing a song similar to this. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus. Meaning this, that we have as the center of our understanding that Jesus died for us, and our commission is to take the truth of that death to all the world. That the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake. See, the world is trying to destroy you. Satan is trying to destroy you. You have to say, it is no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. The life of Jesus is manifest in our mortal flesh as we live and walk in the Spirit. And then in verse 16 through 18, therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. For the momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all compassion. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I gave you a promise, and if you will do what you have heard this day, you will leave this house in peace. Cast all your care upon Jesus Christ. Give all your life to the Lord. Look not to the things of this world, but look to the things above. Look to Jesus Christ as the author and finisher of your faith. It is only Christ. I had a discussion with some people the other day and just restored in my mind the joy of the understanding that I only have two sermons. My first sermon is eternal life. My second sermon is separation unto God, or sanctification, as we would say. And what I am saying you to do this day is to separate yourself unto God. Give yourself to Christ, rest in him, and the peace that passeth all understanding will exude from your very being to everyone you see. They will say, there is a person who is at peace with God. And though his world may be filled with trials, filled with temptations, filled with those things that would destroy any other person, yet he remains in perfect peace because his mind eye is stayed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of his faith, who for the joy set before him despised the cross and is set down at the right hand of the Father. God is with you. Jesus Christ is in you. The Holy Spirit is instigating and moving and inspiring you in everything that you do. Let this peace well up inside you today. Leave this house with the joy of the knowledge that Christ is not walking beside you. He is living within you, and he is manifesting himself in your mortal flesh by bringing the peace that he only can give. Let the Spirit of Christ fill you this day. God, I beseech you that you would touch this people with the power of the knowledge to receive all that you have for them of the peace that passeth all understanding. And we would give you honor and glory this day, for you are wonderful, and you are peace, and you are love, and you are life, and we glorify you in Christ's name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Praise God.